KMAN.
And welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. My name is Brandon Peoples, and today joined here by Sunflower Casa Project Executive Director Stacy Tidwell in studio. Stacy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet. It's always a good opportunity whenever we can talk about CASA, and which stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates here. And just kind of before we get started here, just kind of explain to maybe those who don't know what services you guys provide.
Sure. Sunflower CASA Project is an umbrella agency. We have three programs that are within the agency. The one that's probably the most known is our CASA Core Services. We train volunteers such as yourself from the community to come alongside children that are involved in district court cases, child in need of care cases. And these are cases where there's no fault of their own that they're pulled in. There's some type of family circumstance that has warranted court intervention. Through this program, we had 55 CASAs that served 149 children during 2018, which is pretty significant. We ended up having volunteers contribute close to 2,000 hours of service and drove close to 27,000 miles across the state of Kansas serving the children that they were appointed. CASA is near and dear to my heart. That's actually where I started as a college student at K-State. I was a CASA volunteer, and it was such a meaningful experience. Here I am with the agency.
Wow.
We also have two other programs through our agency. We have Sunflower Bridge Child Exchange and Visitation Center. We provide supervised visits and exchanges for cases where there's domestic cases, most often involving domestic violence or protection from abuse orders. We provide a facility where we've got on-site security and a visitation observer so that a child can come in and have a visit with a non-residential caregiver in a safe and healthy manner, which is very important. Prior to our existence with this program, you'd often see a lot of exchanges would be occurring in front of McDonald's or the police department, which is very less than ideal circumstances. And then also our third program is Stepping Stones. It's our child advocacy center. We ended up serving 76 alleged victims of child sexual abuse and physical abuse. We have a multidisciplinary team that is gathered when there are allegations that come in that a child has been sexually abused, where we're able to bring them into our center. We have a forensically trained interviewer that's specific to working with children, and then we gather that multidisciplinary team to make sure that all the different areas are getting the information that they need to help that child go from that process of being victimized to healing and being a survivor, which is very, very important. Prior to having child advocacy centers, children would often disclose that they'd been abused to, say, a neighbor or a teacher. And then, you know, that neighbor or teacher might call in DCF, and DCF would come out, and they'd have to talk about, you know, the worst events of their life to this person. And then DCF would call law enforcement, and law enforcement would come out, and they'd have to share those events again. And then it would involve mental health and, like, a St. Sart nurse, and ultimately, by the end, the very system that was meant to protect children would end up re-victimizing them, having to share those worst moments over and over. So with our child advocacy center, they can come in, we can get that recorded, we have someone that's trained to do that interview, to take them from that process to where then they're working with our family victim advocate to make sure that they're getting the services that they need afterwards.
Well, that's great help, because, you know, whenever you have a traumatic event, talking about it once is hard enough.
Yeah.
So having to go through it multiple times, obviously, it can be very traumatic here. How wide-ranging does your specific chapter serve?
So we end up picking up a catchment area last year of 7 counties, the year prior, 10. We're in somewhat of a service drought, and so the nearest child advocacy centers that provide this same type of service to their community are located in Topeka, Concordia, Hutch, Wichita, and Salina. And so you've got a good 75-mile radius before you can find someone else that has a child advocacy center.
Right, and these are very important, obviously, as we mentioned here. There's some so many cases that, and I imagine the need for volunteers is really high.
It is. We currently have 3 children sitting on our wait list right now that are waiting to be served through a CASA volunteer. We do have an upcoming spring training that I'd love to share about with everyone. Yep. We provide 40 hours of intensive training to volunteers from the community that are wanting to come in and help a child. I think it's a pretty comprehensive, intensive training session so that we're equipping you to best advocate for that child. Our training starts on February 5th. It runs every Tuesday evening through April 2nd. It runs from 5:30 to 8:30. You do need to be 21 years old. You need to be able to commit to serving at least a year because we want you to be there with that child throughout their entire court experience. And then you have to be able to complete an application, background checks, complete training, and then, of course, the most important thing is you have to have a passion for helping children.
So now, when the training is complete here, how often, so you mentioned you got to be there for at least a year. How often are you going and meeting with kids here in a given week?
Yeah, we ask that our volunteers meet with the children that they're appointed at least twice a month.
Okay.
That twice a month contact really helps you build that rapport with the child and then also create that trusting relationship, which is the most important piece. As you're getting to know your CASA children, you're learning about their needs, you're learning about their wants and what's going on in their life, and you're getting involved in how they're doing in school, if they're receiving mental health treatment. So you're in all those different areas, making sure, first and foremost, that their needs are getting met.
All right. And you mentioned the different levels of service you provide here. Which one do you take most dearly to your heart here?
Well, I started as a CASA volunteer, so that's probably what's nearest and dearest to my heart. But in all honesty, all of the programs that we have under our agency have the best interest of children in our community at heart. And so I think they're all very important to what's out there and what we provide. If you think about it, it's the most vulnerable level you can get. You have a child, but then you have an abused or neglected child who desperately needs someone to step up and represent their voice and make sure that they're getting their needs met. Because, of course, if you meet the needs of a child, they grow up to become a more productive adult, which is important.
Yeah. This is such an important service, obviously. CASA, again, we're talking with Program Executive Director Stacy Tidwell from Sunflower CASA. And again, their spring training event, the first one coming up February 5th. Let's take a quick time out. We'll come back and talk about more about what to expect for the first class for that. Coming up here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning News brought to you by Manhattan.